Coming up, Apple's latest router, a pad that's not a pad and a pad that is, and our first viewer review. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively with Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone and enter Before You Buy. Welcome to Before You Buy, the TWiT show where we review products. In fact, the whole TWiT family. In this case, even one of our viewers gets to review products. We've got some good ones for you, but let's kick things off with Jason Howell. Not Jason Snell.
Me? Not to be confused.
Not to be confused.
A different Jason.
Jason, of course, produces the Giz Whiz, does a great job, just got off that. Mm-hmm. Is a regular on Tech News Today and the host of All About Android.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what I have here.
Is it that Android? This is from Asus.
Yes. So this is Asus. This is the Asus Memo Pad Smart.
I wanted to say Memo.
Wanted to say Memo too. And then I actually went on Google Plus and said, okay, what is it? Memo or Memo? Everybody said Memo.
Yeah.
I still want to say Memo. It's how they spell it. They have weird capitals.
Capital M, lowercase e, capital M, capital
yeah,
M.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's a standard Android tablet, obviously.
Yeah. So it's a 10.1 inch tablet. It's running an NVIDIA Tegra 3 quad-core processor at 1200 megahertz, 1 gig of RAM. What are some of the things that stand out? Well, the 10.1-inch display is actually 1280 by 800.
Oh.
So it's not like an impressive display necessarily from a resolution standpoint. That actually matches the resolution that you get on the Nexus 7.
But Samsung does higher resolutions in that phone.
Yeah, so if you get the Nexus 10, it's a higher resolution.
Right.
What you have to understand about this is that it's priced very competitively. It's, I think, $280
for
a 10-inch tablet. Wow. So they're kind of going for more of the budget kind of approach. You know, if you're on a budget but you still want that larger size tablet, that's what this is kind of here for. It's running Jelly Bean 4.2.1. It comes in three different colors, if that matters to you. This is actually, I think, the blue, even though it looks more black than anything. But they also have a white and a pink.
Yes.
It has, you know, your standard micro USB, the HDMI, micro HDMI, micro SD card slot, which I think is when you're talking about a 10-inch tablet form factor, almost essential.
It's storage, not for reading cards, but for storage, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Problem
Android
storage.
Has is that SD card storage is usable only for a few things, like music and pictures. Some apps can move there, but some can't.
Yeah, if you really need to. It depends on the internal storage, you know, whether you would need to move an
How
app
How big
to,
is the internal storage?
Internal storage, well, it has 1 gig of RAM, 16 gigs of internal
Okay, so it's a little
storage.
Small. That might be a good thing to have some.
Yeah,
supplement.
And I mean, you know, people use their 10-inch tablets a lot of times as media devices. So having that SD card slot as an option is great
because
you can swap out those cards and have your movies and your music.
And they'll go up to 64 gigs, so you can have a lot of storage.
Yes,
on that,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Front facing cameras, 1.2 megapixel, which, I mean, it's serviceable. Even the quality of it is okay.
It's good for Skype.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, what more do you want out of a front facing
720p,
camera?
720p, yeah.
And then the rear facing is a 5 megapixel. Go ahead and show that. And I actually thought that the picture quality on the rear-facing camera was pretty decent. I don't really expect much from tablet cameras, and this one was pretty okay.
I lobbied for a long time for Apple to put cameras on its iPad. Now I'm lobbying against it. I hate it when people hold up tablets.
It's not something that I ever want or
it ruins
think to do.
Concerts.
Yeah. Well, who's walking? Yeah, right.
Well, people do that.
I'm going to bring these in my back pocket, this 10-inch
weddings.
Tablet. You know, overall, it has a plasticky design. But one thing I kind of realized in this device, you know, aside from the fact that it's kind of a budget $280 10-inch tablet, is it's really kind of two devices that you've heard of. It's the Asus Transformer Pad Infinity for a lot of reasons. It's the same size, weight. The form factor is very similar to that. Same quad-core Tegra 3 processor, but not necessarily on the speed of that processor, and the micro SD card slot. And then it's also the Nexus 7, the 16-gig version of that, because it has the matched quad-core Tegra 3, 1200 megahertz, same RAM, same micro USB charging that the ASUS Transformer Pad Infinity didn't have. It had a proprietary charger, which was kind of annoying. So you kind of get both of those, but it's, you know, a lot more affordable, I'd say. So when you're talking about kind of the plasticky feel, yes, it's plasticky, but it's pretty solid. Like I've used some Samsung tablets that are fully plastic, and they feel hollow, they feel cheap. This doesn't necessarily give me that impression.
So about almost twice as much, you get a metal case on the Infinity, and you get a much higher resolution screen.
And you get a keyboard and everything.
Yeah, if you're in the budget market,
absolutely.
That's about what you'd expect, really.
Yeah, totally. The ASUS overlay is pretty close to stock. They do a couple of things here, but it's 4.2.1. But as you can kind of see, like, it's pretty close to stock. They have some added bonuses if you go into settings. You know, they have this ASUS customized setting where you can do things like set system performance based on what you're doing. Are you playing a game? You probably want it in performance mode. I always operate in the balance mode because I think that's kind of the real world test.
And good battery life?
Battery life is pretty decent. I wouldn't say that it necessarily stood out to me as good or bad, although I will say there was a time where I left it pretty charged, but it forgot to plug it in at night and woke up the next morning and it had depleted a lot.
Oh, that's not good. Yeah.
So in its standby state, I mean, I'm syncing, you know, as I usually do, three different email accounts,
that's
Google Plus, Twitter.
Yeah.
Right, but that's
it's
how I use my devices.
Overnight.
So
yeah.
That tells me like how well it's going to do.
But, I mean, for a tablet that size, 8 to 10 hours is kind of the standard. Are you getting something like that?
I guess so. Yeah, it's so hard to have.
It really varies on usage.
It really varies on usage. But for the most part, from a usability standpoint, plugging it in at the end of every night, it lasted for as long as I needed it to do. And, you know, I was doing things like playing games with it, you know, watched YouTube videos. I tried to kind of stress test it a little bit. I didn't really feel like it was lacking as far as that was concerned. Performance, I mean, it has a nice processor. That Tegra 3 quad core is nothing, you know, it's no slouch. It's maybe kind of pushing the lines of about to be outdated with Tegra 4 kind of around the corner. But again, you're talking about a budget 10-inch tablet, so that's not a horrible thing. All in all, I think I was pretty impressed. I think I entered into it expecting to not like it. And, you know, for a while there, I was like, I don't really have too much of an opinion. It's the last few days of using it that I've really kind of started to kind of really understand why it deserves to exist. If you're comparing this against today's top crop of Android tablets in the $500 range, like, that's not a fair comparison.
Right.
You're talking about $300, 10-inch tablet. What can you give me? This I think is a very, very good option in that range. So as far as pros are concerned, obviously it's an inexpensive 10-inch tablet. The SD card slot is great and, you know, I think essential in a 10-inch form factor. Build quality is pretty solid. As far as the cons are concerned, the display is soft. The resolution isn't necessarily, you know, super sharp and crisp. But it's just because it's a budget tablet, and the battery life was okay. I wouldn't necessarily say it was amazing, but if I had to put it, you know, into one of the blocks, I guess it would be a con. So ultimately, if you want a 10-inch tablet, you can spend no more than $300. This is absolutely a buy. If you are comparing it to like the Nexus 10, that's $100 more. If you can, you know, if you can afford $100 more, get the Nexus 10. That's probably the way to go.
There you go. There you go. Jason Howell. From TNT and All About Android. Thank you.
You bet.
The ASUS Memo Pad Smart.
That's right.
It's a buy,
unless
you can afford more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In the $300 range.
We're going to do a first. We've got one of our regular chatters, Effin Dunn. We love Effin Dunn. He's been here to the studio. He's one of two people known in the world who has a twit tattoo, which you're going to see in a moment. He's our first viewer review. We're excited. So without further ado, Jason...
Cleanthes.
I always call him Effin Dunn. Jason Cleanthes with his review of the Logitech Ultra Thin Keyboard Cover for the iPad Mini. Jason?
Hey, Leo. This is Jason Cleanthes with the Twit Chat Room. This is my review of the Logitech Ultra Thin Keyboard for the iPad Mini. So this product is a follow-up to the original Ultra Thin Keyboard for the iPad, which was a huge success. Only this time, it's for the Mini. What's great is this keyboard also acts as a stand, and it holds your iPad at a very comfortable 60-degree viewing angle for typing, watching movies on a plane or desk, or for charging and docking to your computer. The keyboard is backed with the same style and color as the iPad Mini, available in both black and white. They really do match the Mini very well. Size-wise, it is exactly the same size as an iPad Mini. So when you have it connected with the magnetic hinge, It's almost like putting two iPads together. So it feels nice and smooth when closed up, but this is also a negative. The iPad mini has a great finish to it that feels easy to scratch. Well, so does the keyboard. And when it's sitting on a desk, it feels like the back is going to get really scratched. It would be nice if they included little pads or a clear decal that you could put on it to protect it and keep it from scratching. A side note about the magnet. It's strong, but it's not very strong. As you can see, it'll hold, but it won't hold perfectly. On the face of the keyboard, there are some small rubber bumpers for when the iPad is closed. This helps a bit, but doesn't prevent the iPad screen from contacting the keyboard surface. And on my mini and my full-size iPad, there has been some adhesive transfer from inside this channel. Okay, so this is an 8-inch keyboard, which will be a little tight. Oh, and one important piece of information, this Logitech Ultra Thin keyboard for the iPad mini retails for $79.95 from Logitech and at many of your big box retail electronic stores. The pros and cons on this are: it matches the finish of the iPad mini, so it looks great together. It holds the iPad at a comfortable viewing angle for working. It has a really long battery life. And the function keys all over the keyboard are really helpful. Cons: to match the size of the iPad, certain keys had to get merged. The material feels like it's going to scratch really easily, so you got to be careful about that. Also, the magnet on the hinge should have been stronger. It can easily separate when carrying. And of course, my biggest con, the adhesive transfer to the screen is really annoying. It's been seen on both my large and small keyboard, but it's not a deal breaker. So, is it a buy, try, or don't buy? Well, that really depends on your needs. I personally take my iPad mini everywhere. I use it for a lot of things. I use it for script writing. I use it for long emails, working on projects. So for me, a keyboard works great. Besides, it also works as a great stand when I'm sitting in my truck just wanting to watch a movie in between shoots or takes or locations. If that's you, then this is a definite buy. I'm Jason Clanthus with Twit Chat Room and Before You Buy, and this has been my review of the Logitech Ultra Thin keyboard for the iPad mini.
Wow, that's great. Thank you, Jason. Jason's a longtime member of our Twit family, a longtime chatter. And, you know, that's a product I loved in its full-size form, so I was glad to see the review of the little one to go with the iPad mini. Jason Clanthus, effin' done in the chat room, and he's in there right now. Hi, effin' done. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Shannon's got an IdeaPad, a new Lenovo laptop, Windows 8 laptop. Radford has something called the Viva, and I've got this. We'll tell you what this is in just a second, but first, let's talk about this, my USB scale from stamps.com. You don't want to go to the post office, and it's the last thing you should have your employees do. It's just, you know, an inefficient way to get postage when you can print your own with your computer and your printer and stamps.com. We're big fans here at stamps.com. We don't even go to the post office anymore. Actually, we go because we got a post office box. It's the one reason, but we can always send Jeff the intern, so we don't have to worry about that. Don't have to give him any cash for stamps or anything like that. And heaven forfend, we'd have a postage meter. That's nuts. In fact, stamps.com will save you as much as 100% over. I'm sorry. Did I say 100%? Let me put it this way. Postage meter ink is 100 times more expensive than inkjet printers. That's like 10,000%. You don't want to do a postage meter. You want stamps.com, your own printer, your own computer. And because it's a computer, it could do things smart, like recommend postage, classes for the stuff you want to mail. With the scale, you'll always have exactly the right postage, never too much or too little. And, of course, you can always import addresses, so you don't have to type anything in. They'll come from your address book on your PC, your QuickBooks. You can even use cost codes to track postage spending by customer, by department, automatic address verification, even discounts you can't get at the post office, including discounted package insurance, all in one click. You don't even have to fill out the certified mail or the return receipt or the customs forms for international mail. It'll do it all for you. Stamps.com. This is the pro tip for anybody who has any mailing. Now, when you go to stamps.com, you'll probably be tempted by that $80 special offer. Do me a favor. click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our offer code before you buy, and you'll get a $110 bonus offer, including $55 in free postage. You'll get this USB scale for shipping and handling. That's about $5 to make it up to you. They'll give you a $5 supply kit, and, of course, you get a month free of Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com right now. Click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Offer code, one word, before you buy. Get that special deal, and get mailing with Stamps.com. We're big fans here at the Twit Brick House. All right, now it's time to get another review, this time from our very own producer, Shannon Morse. She's also the host of Threat Wire, right?
Yep, that's
on,
right.
On YouTube.com/TechFeed and of Hack 5. And you have the, I'm a big Lenovo fan.
Me too.
This is an IdeaPad, not a ThinkPad. So this is their lower cost.
Yeah.
A product. This is
quite
the
obvious that it's a lower end.
Can you
version.
Tell? I don't know why they call it a pad.
I don't either.
There's no pad there. It's
no,
not,
there's
it's
definitely
not a detachable,
not. So
convertible.
To be precise, this is the Lenovo IdeaPad Z400 Touch. And okay. The reason it's called Touch is because it has the touchscreen.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion really nice. That any Windows 8 machine should have that.
I completely agree. I'm really happy that they are including these in these lower end products right. as well. With that said, I was very happy to see us get a bunch of different student/desktop replacement type laptops.
Well, I think a lot of people, and I'm getting a lot of calls on the radio show, are getting ready to buy laptops for their kids going into high school in the
yes,
fall or the college
exactly.
in the fall. And this would be perfect for that, I think. Yeah,
I totally agree. I mean, there's tons of space in this guy. It has a one terabyte hard drive in it, which is great. And it also has an i5 processor. Of course, that's the third
enough.
Generation.
Yep.
But yeah, it's still fast enough. It has a lot of nice high-end products in it. You know, the one terabyte hard drive is great. It has 8 gigs of RAM inside of it. So
it's a desktop
it's
replacement.
Speedy.
It's got an optical
yeah.
drive. It's your, you know, it's heavy.
It
battery
heavy.
Life's probably
it's
not great.
It's over 5 pounds.
Yeah.
So it's definitely heavy.
So
the battery
funny.
On
that
this
used
guy
to be
is
a
only
notebook.
About 5 hours.
It used to be thin and light.
I
five
know,
pounds.
Isn't that crazy?
Now it's
I
heavy.
Had something heavier than this when I was in college.
Yeah, of course you did.
And
yeah.
nothing lasted a good 7 years. But,
yeah.
you know, it worked.
Is it metal or plastic?
It's plastic. And yeah. you can tell if you check out the back of it, which looks very nice.
I think this is a good looking notebook.
It doesn't pick up a whole bunch of yeah. you know, ugly handprints or anything. Yeah. But if you tap on it. You can hear that it's plastic, so it's pretty obvious. The inside of it, with the keyboard and the touchpad, I really didn't like those, unfortunately. Yeah, yeah. With the keyboard, when you're typing on it, you can see it flex.
So there's a little man in your computer.
See this
I don't.
Top row, you
yeah.
can see that flexing whenever I type on it. And that's not
that's
even
not
very
good.
Hard.
Yeah.
That's so it's pretty.
You know,
plasticky
we've seen a lot of notebooks.
Cheap.
Surprisingly, with that, you know, that seems like a defect.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really annoying. And then with the touchpad, I noticed, and this might not bother everyone, but it bothered me personally, is that the lip on this side is smoother than the lip on this side.
That's just weird.
That's very weird. Yeah. And it was really bothersome for me when I was, you know, switching into the Charm Bar or I was trying right. to change my applications or whatever. The touchpad also feels kind of cheap, too. It's not like the nice, you know, MacBook ones or whatnot. But, of course, that goes along with the price. The speakers work very fine. It's not any kind of special speakers, and they're located on the bottom. So if you're sitting it down, you have these little feet right here,
yeah.
which help it not get too muffled, and it helps the fan on here
sure,
so it doesn't get
cool.
overheated.
Yeah.
But even so, you're still getting a little bit of interference if you have this on your lap or whatnot.
If you're sending it to a school with a kid, you're probably going to get external speakers for
yeah.
the kid. Yeah,
yeah, I would.
Because that's their stereo.
Yeah, just
on
some
the TV
cheapo
set.
USB speakers. Yeah. That'd be fine. On the side, you have your ports. You even have a little VGA. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, for projector. Yeah.
You have your regular, Ethernet right here. HDMI.
Looks like USB 3, which is nice.
Yeah, USB 3.0 SD card slot for reading it.
This is such a desktop replacement because you've also got the more ports on the other side, more USB ports.
Yeah, you've got your DVD writer.
Yeah,
two
like
more
an optical
USB
drive. Yeah.
2.0 ones.
This
and
is
then
a student
you also have,
computer.
Of course, your mic
yeah.
and jack.
Yeah.
As far as the battery goes, 5 hours, pretty good. So it's decent enough.
Get and, through a day of classes.
Yeah, and seeing that this starts, the starting price is $599. Of course,
that's
it
good.
Says on their website $749, but you can find it for way cheaper.
Yeah.
Starting price $599 for i3, that's not bad. So it's a pretty decent computer. However, with the defects, if I was paying for this myself, let me get into the pros and cons.
Okay.
So I like the fact that it's a desktop replacement and it has all the needed ports if you're a student or whatnot.
And we should point out, its 14-inch screen is a little bit bigger than the typical laptop. So that's good, also good for homework, things like that.
The screen, it's okay.
Touch.
It's touch, but that is one of my cons. I noticed when I was playing with this, not only is the touchpad a little cheap and it feels kind of unresponsive sometimes, but also the screen. You'll notice there's definite lag, mm-hmm. and sometimes it'll freeze up on me. Mm-hmm. And that was a big issue for me as far as when I was testing it. The keyboard also feels pretty cheap as well, and I don't like that it flexes and that it's so easy to accidentally hit some
You're going to see these in warehouse stores, in Best Buys, that kind of thing. This is a consumer laptop.
It is. It's definitely a consumer laptop. Like, if you need something ASAP, you could probably buy this. But for myself, my verdict, I'm sorry to say, it's a don't buy.
You think at that price you could
really
get better?
And there's so many different options out there, of course. So you could probably find something a little bit better.
A don't buy for the Lenovo IdeaPad Z400. I think a flexing keyboard alone is enough
annoying.
Reason to not recommend that.
I
understand at that price that's something a kid going into high school or going into college is going to be fine for them.
Yeah, they'd
get
be the fine job with done. It.
Yeah. Now, we got our director of engineering, Radford Castro, to do something. I have no idea what it is. I just know the name. V3Eyes, VA, the Viva. Maybe Radford better explain. Radford?
I'm Radford at Twit, and this is the review of the Viva. That's four eyes. This thing is like a heart rate monitor and then some. It tracks how far you've been running, how fast you're running, as well as your heart rate, and a couple other fitness metrics that'll kind of help you out if you're kind of looking for something to fit your fitness goals. The Viva is connected using Bluetooth, and a lot of it stems from the connection it makes with the iPhone app called the 4iii, or the 4i, however you want to pronounce it. But for the most part, it's your typical, you know, heart rate belt. This is the back part of it. It doesn't look like contact leads, but it actually does connect to the breastbone, and that's where it's going to meet, right over here, just like that. Now we're at the point now where we can actually show my current heart rate. So that's the current heart rate that I'm running right now. Can check the pace, but the amount of power, I assume, is the rate of how quickly I'm running or how fast I'm launching off the ground or launching off of my starting point. And then you have your calories and distance, all the good stuff we expect to have on a heart rate monitor. So let's see this thing run. Here we go. So that's the pace.
Okay.
So, well, right now I'm not running, so it's going lower. So I'd be running about 61 minutes per mile. Let me try again. Here we go. At this point, can you even hear me? And say I'm running about 6 minutes per mile, which is pretty awesome. So at this pace, it's actually calculating the rate of how fast I'll be quickly running a mile. Right now it says I'm averaging 6 minutes.
What's it at now?
See again?
Let's see it.
Well, it's lowering because I'm stopping infinite. That means I'll never run. I got tired after running 0.1 mile. Oh, I'm going to go up like that? It's going to look like what? The Bourne Trilogy? What is this?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, here you go. My heart rate is really beating. What average is 148. Can you see this?
Yeah.
Somehow, two laps just happened, so I don't know how that happens. 58 calories and 0.11 miles. Not bad. So, in terms of pros, it's pretty accurate in terms of measuring your heartbeat and knowing the pacing at how quickly you're going to run a mile, measuring the amount of calories as well as your cadence and your power and all the other good stuff. On the con side, it's, you know, only on the iPhone, and the straps are pretty limiting, and I'm a pretty small guy, so if you're a little bit bigger than me, the heart rate monitor might not even fit you. So the Viva is $80, and it's for the iPhone. And as far as final verdict, I give this a try. I'm Radford Castro for twit.tv, and before you buy.
It reminds me a lot of my old Polar wristwatch heart rate monitor, but it gives you more features. I like it that it's tied to the iPhone. Thank you, Radford. Radford's our director of engineering at Twit. Now, our last product of the day is something pretty cool looking. I guess you might have noticed there's a little bit of an apple at the top there. And at the bottom, this is Apple's new Airport Extreme, the 2013 edition. Apple announced it at WWDC. I ordered it right away and got it within just a few days. List price is $200 for this. And it is the new Apple Airport Extreme. So if you're buying a new Airport Extreme, you're going to get this same price as the old Airport Extreme. Although I was looking on the Apple Refurb site, and you can get the old Airport Extreme base station for about $125. This one is an interesting form factor, and it's because they've moved to the new 802.11 AC. So it's got support for all the versions of Wi-Fi, A, B, C, G, and N, and then the new AC. And for that reason, it has to have six antennas in it. And these array antennas are located at the top. That's one of the reasons for the kind of the tower shape to this. It broadcasts on both the 2.4 gigahertz bands for the older versions of 802.11. And AC itself is only at 5 gigahertz. You won't find a lot of use for AC unless you have AC hardware like the new MacBook Air. That's the only product Apple sells that uses AC, although the new Mac Pro supposedly will be AC, and I imagine in time all the Apple products will be. AC is a new standard, not ratified yet. It will be ratified in early 2014, but it's not unusual to see access point manufacturers start shipping new equipment based on the draft standard. In fact, Belkin and Buffalo and many others have AC routers. The price on AC routers tends to be a little bit more expensive, not as expensive as the Apple. Most of them in the $150 to $175 range. Is it worth paying $25 to $50 more for the Apple version or $75 more for this year's version compared to last year's version? Well, probably not. I think Apple's Wi-Fi routers access points are really excellent. I've always had great results with them, and this one is very much the same. I was able to install it quickly. It's very easy to install if you're using Macs. A little more tricky if you're using Windows, although doable. And, of course, once you've got it set up, it'll work with all kinds of machines. Wi-Fi is a standard that is well-supported on all hardware. It'll be a while before you can take advantage of AC, although there is some real benefit to AC. It is a lot faster, up to 1.3 gigabits per second. They sometimes call it Y-gig. It also supports something called beamforming. In fact, this is the first AC access point I've seen that supports beamforming. Beamforming means that it aims at you. So if you're on this AC adapter and using AC equipment like the MacBook Air, you'll actually have the beam somewhat aimed and, in theory, get better rates at greater distances. With it, I found it worked quite well in my house, everywhere in the house. One concern, of course, is at 5 gigahertz, that higher frequency means it's going to bounce off of some walls. So you may not get great results if you've got, especially if you've got metal in the walls as you use this around the house. Beamforming compensates for that a little bit. I found it worked very, very well, and I got very good throughput on my laptop. But, you know, because I'm getting throughput, even with an 802.11 router, that's faster than my internet access, even high-speed internet access, I'm getting about 50 megabits down, 11 megabits up. That's easy for even 802.11n. You aren't going to see any benefit from an AC router unless you're using it with an AC device that's copying files internally on your LAN, and that's pretty unlikely until you get a lot of new hardware. Even then, you're not going to get great results because of the way, unfortunately, Apple has implemented its file sharing, SMB and Apple Fire, AppleTalk protocol are poorly written and kind of tap out at lower speeds, about 500 megabits per second. AnonTech did a test on this router with an AC file exchange using FTP and was able to get much better throughput, closer to the gigabit promised speed. I don't know if there's any real advantage to AC, and there may not be for some time to come. This comes in several models. The $200 model has no hard drive. They also sell this as a time capsule. Add $100 for 2 terabytes of storage. $200 for 3 terabytes of storage. That's cool because it can be used as a NAS or a backup device. Again, a little expensive and perhaps not as flexible as multi-drive network-attached storage devices. You can't use RAID and so forth. But for a simple backup solution, in an all-Apple home, that's probably not a bad solution. This has 3 hardwired Ethernet ports. I'd like to see more. It's got 1 USB 2.0 port in the back. That's awfully slow. And a standard Ethernet jack. That's so you can connect up to your cable or DSL modem. That's gigabit. In fact, all of it's gigabit. It's a beautiful form factor. I think Apple's routers are solid. They don't seem to have many of the problems, especially security problems, that routers from other manufacturers are prone to. I certainly, you know, only buy Apple AirPort Extremes. Is it worth $50 a premium over other AC routers? Well, that's going to be up to you. If you're running a Macintosh household, it probably is. If you run Windows, maybe not. And should you get AC? Probably not. I don't think there's a whole lot of benefit unless you have a lot of AC hardware and you're doing in-house copying from an AC device to an AC device. And most of us aren't. Even I, with all my AC equipment, I'm not really set up to do that. So I'm going to give it a buy only because if you're in the market for a new Wi-Fi access point, this is the Apple Wi-Fi access point. You can still, as I said, get a refurbished one, but that won't, you know, the older one, that won't be for too much longer. So it's a buy. If I like Apple stuff, I think this stuff works quite well. You probably can shop around and get it for less. I always think that's a little bit risky. And the good AC stuff is going to be in the same price range. Apple does use the same Broadcom chip that almost everybody else is using. So it's not the hardware you're paying for. It's Apple's implementation, Apple's software, and Apple's design, which you can't deny is pretty good looking. On the pro side, good looking, great for speed, reliable, secure. On the cons, a little more expensive than the other guys, but I'm going to give it a buy just because, come on, why wouldn't you buy that? That's it for Before You Buy. I want to thank all of our reviewers, Jason Howell, Jason Cleanthus. Nice to have you, Effin Dunn, on the show. Shannon Morse, our producer. Thank you for doing such a great job the time. And who else? We had Radford Castro did a great review on the Viva. You can email us, byb@twit.tv. If you've got something you'd like us to review, we'd be glad to do it for you. You can also follow us on YouTube, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. All of the reviews are up there, including full-length reviews. Some of them, we cut them down. Jason's, for instance, we cut down quite a bit. If you want to see Jason's full review of the Logitech keyboard for the Mini, if you want to see Radford running to Chariots of Fire music, if you want to see all of the review, go to youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. Thanks for joining us. I hope I'll see you next week. Remember, you got to watch Before You Buy. Take care.